Introduce our AA speaker. Yeah. His name is Eric. I had the opportunity of meeting him at Highlands a few years ago, and then we've done a lot of service work together with Weekend in SA and stuff like that. So I am really excited to hear his story. This is Eric.
I'm Eric. I'm an alcoholic, addict.
Hey, Eric.
Sobriety date, 12-14-12. By the grace of God, this amazing program, and all of you, and everyone that's paved the way for this amazing program, I will continue to say, and forever, blessed, and better things to come. This is an amazing way of living. So I'm going to open up with a little bit of my story. In opening any meeting or in sharing my story, I consulted with my higher power, of course, and I'm going to open up with the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to Thee, to dwell with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, so that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. What a blessing. Amazing. All right, so I like to start with a little bit of the past in terms of what got me here. So as a kid, was raised by Al-Anons with a love of heart, with a heart of gold. That I'm forever grateful for. I have a 95-year-old grandmother that's still with us and lives with us, as well as my mom, who was a single parent and raised my sister and I, and did the best they could. You know, I call myself a fourth generation double winner. Not only did I do I belong to this amazing program, AA program, but I'm also Al-Anon. But we'll focus on AA for purposes of my share today. In terms of how I considered myself always having a nervous disposition. As a little kid, I remember always being nervous and not fitting in. Not fitting in, nervous, and not being the same as other kids. I was bullied a lot because I had tendencies that were not normal, and I was raised by a grandmother who is very religious, and you know, again, my mom and my grandma have done the best they did the best they could, but with that, I was raised thinking I was a defect. I'm gay, so you know, I always thought I'm not accepted. The religion that I was raised in taught me that, you know, I was just, you know, not good enough. And on top of that, in our childhood, living in Costa Rica originally, which is where I was born, my mom had a tendency of marrying drinkers, right, and abusers. So unfortunately, you know, we went through some abuse in terms of the physical abuse, emotional on us, but the physical abuse in terms of what we experienced as children and facing, you know, those situations. So fast forward, moved to the States when I was about 12, and, you know, what an awesome blessing is this, live in the States, and I don't have to, you know, at least it's with the machismo and all that I was raised in as a kid, so I had, you know, more freedom, and began to explore a little bit more about myself. Mom marries my second stepdad, another drinker, and who physically abused her. So this is by the time I was in high school. I was a good kid. I mean, I made good grades, and my dream was, and my mom will always say this, is your dream as a little kid was to have a castle, and so that your whole family could live with you and you could take care of them. And anyhow, I'll share a little bit about that in terms of how that's come about. But nevertheless, raised in that environment with those beliefs and not accepting me for who I was difficult. I didn't love myself, for who I truly am. So fast forward to my early 20s, 21. I didn't start drinking until I was 21. In fact, I waited to legal age to drink and had my first few drinks. And in fact, for singleness of purpose, I'll focus on alcoholism, but there's a lot of other substances as part of my story. I'll share a little bit more about what got me to recovery with that is that. I am also come to find codependent. So I meet this guy at a bar when I was about 22, and I move in with him 2 weeks later. anyhow, I began to experience more drinking, more, and then I was always curious about what his friends were doing in the bathroom with keys and all. And so anyhow, there were other substances that I started to experiment with, but it wasn't out of control. But it's true what I've learned in recovery is that this disease is a progressive disease. So anything that I pick up, I will progress, and it's not enough. So that defines me as an alcoholic. I'll read a little bit about, in the doctor's opinion about what alcoholism is. And it says on here, we believe and so suggested a few years ago that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy, that the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. So to me, one was not enough, but it progressed socially. And it became to, it got to a point where in my mid-30s, I was drinking heavily, but I was also using quite a bit. That relationship ended, chose to, for the right reasons, end that relationship in 2003. But I hadn't peaked yet. So in 2006, I am at, I would say, pretty much the peak of the disease, just about. And I remember having had this awesome employer for about 14 years, but I was missing work quite a bit. Things were just falling out of control, missing work, being irresponsible, but also using heavily. So I got fired from the job. And, amazing how my higher power works is that I've always been with the skills that I was so fortunate to pick up through my career and all of that, have always been able to find jobs. So, I've been able to find other jobs, but I continue to get fired or quit jobs because I'm drinking or using. I remember having a job in Austin. And they had, and this is in 07, early 07, they had a bar downstairs. And I remember on a Tuesday, they had a free beer. So what did I do? And I had just started this job, this amazing job. I went drinking. And did I make it to work the next day? No. In fact, I quit 2 weeks later because 2 weeks in a row, I had, never mind that the week before I had done it, I did it again the following week. I drank again, and I didn't make it to work. And it was just, and then at that point, immediately as I drank, I call it graduated. I went immediately to the next choice, the drug of choice. Clearly, I know now what that is, but I didn't know back then what that was. So I quit that job. I came back home ashamed, and this happened multiple times. But I get a couple of other jobs, and same thing, getting fired or quitting because of drinking. Bottom line is I'm not a normal drinker. And my behavior also is out of control in many different ways. But in addition to that, in 2009, I remember having this other employer, and I get a DWI in 2009, and that scared me a little bit. That scared me a little bit, and God did for me what I wouldn't do for myself. After that process, come to find the tape evidence was missed, was couldn't be found, and in addition to that, the cop never showed up to any of the hearings. Case got dismissed, gone. But I, you know what? I was grateful, but again, not knowing recovery, and because of alcohol, scaring me a little bit, I chose to meth instead. Better choice. So in 2009 and 2010, I began to explore with this other substance, and just like the alcohol did and previous substances, it progressed rapidly to the point where I had never thought in my whole life, because I've always been afraid of needles, that I would even use needles. At the height of my disease, that I would be doing some of the things that were just completely out of character. Hurting all of those around me who love me, hurting myself first and foremost, but everyone else around me. So at the end of, in addition to that, in 2020, end of 2011, 2012, I was diagnosed HIV, and so I remember talking to my doctor. I was like, "All right, so this is it. 2012, I'm diagnosed. I'm at the height of my disease, and what do I choose? Instead of taking care of myself, I dove deeper into my disease. I dove deeper into my disease because." I had gotten to the point where I just wanted out, in all honesty. I just wanted to completely self-destruct. I was lost. Didn't have a connection to a higher power. And, was broken spiritually, physically, emotionally, and in all perspective. So I remember having a conversation with my sister in 2012. And her saying, I just don't know what I'm going to do. She said, I'm afraid of just, and I'm preparing for the worst. So I'm very blessed to have this loving higher power through family, through love that's always surrounded me, always, the hand of God has been there. I just didn't know. And at the end of 2012, after multiple trials of doing this over and over and over again, and not knowing anything about recovery, I didn't know that alcohol or picking up that first drug of choice led me to completely just out of control behavior, and it just that one drink. I remember my last binge in 2012 being that I felt so much better, and after we were preparing for Christmas, and feeling so much better. That last year, my health was in check, was in control. Things have gotten better. My HIV status was awesome. The numbers were looking great. I was healthier, but I was still using. But what I did not have was recovery. So I didn't, because I'm an alcoholic, didn't associate with the first drink or I will say any alcohol, I'll put drink in front of any of that, leads me to this humiliating and self-destructive behavior. So I remember at the end of 2012, feeling so good about how I had recovered with the depressive state of drinking and using and doing all those crazy things, and thought, you know what, I feel really good, I'm going to go have a drink. So I end up at a bar. 5 days later, I'm at a motel, completely humiliated, and just baffled in that, how in the world did this happen all over again, when I promised myself and those who I loved that I wouldn't do it again. All right. So, loving sister that I have and my family, by the time I got back home, I remember rushing out of that hotel like a bat out of hell and crazy. I threw the towel. My grandmother, I'll never forget this. My grandmother was in front of the house shaking, this 90-something-year-old shaking, nervous, with her open arms. If that is not God doing for me, what is it? And my sister was out of town on a business trip, and I already had lined up the Watership, which is rehab that I went to in Florida, and I was on the flight the next day, 12-14-12. That, to me, I call my rebirth. Rebirth into what, to me, is the most amazing way of living. This is so worth my life, and it has been such a phenomenal turnaround in all perspective that is just unbelievable. And the disease had gotten to me when I was diagnosed HIV. By the way, my doctor said, "You're in big trouble. You will never work again. You will never be insured. And in other words, you're in big trouble." So anyhow, go to rehab at the end of 2012, and I was there for meth, I wasn't there for other things, and I started seeing 12 steps, and it was like alcoholism, I'm here for other substances. Well, there's no detox in rehab for meth, and turned out that come to find it through sessions and through meetings like these, it began to make sense that my life was unmanageable, check, no doubt about that. But in addition to that, that I was powerless over alcohol or anything I put in front of alcohol. And certainly my life had gotten unmanageable. That was the first, and I call it, as I've learned through the process of recovery, the 100% step, admitting to my innermost that I am an alcoholic, no doubt. In the literature it says the idea has to be smashed in terms of, admitting. And I have no doubt today that I'm an alcoholic. And me picking up a drink is, I tell myself, not acceptable because of all the gifts that I've been given in recovery and all the amazing things that are going on today. So fast forward to recovery, and what I've done since the very beginning is completely dive into working the steps with a sponsor in rehab even. Coming out of rehab, did my 90 and 90, followed my suggestions to the best of my ability. I had been fired from that last job, by the way, And on top of that, my health had gotten better, but I was still in a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. In recovery, in early rehab, another thing that I found that was, and to me, the most important thing, and I say this by the grace of God, is reconnecting spiritually. Reconnecting spiritually, not to a higher power of others' understanding, but a higher power of my own understanding. See, when I went to rehab, I also had 13 years or so, or 14 years, of being diagnosed with, anxiety disorder, and I have been prescribed, and I have been seeing psychologists and psychiatrists for, those last 13, 14 years. First thing that happened in rehab was I was removed the option of taking Ativan, which to me, medications, we work with our sponsors as well as other advisors we have in the community in terms of our recovery. For purposes of my own experience, strength, and hope, that was immediately removed from me. And I will take other medications, such as I do today, for maintenance and other help. But certainly, in terms of the 0.5 milligram that I used to take in terms of to face fear, face life on life's terms, was something that I've also worked on in terms of recovery as well. So part of the process has been that is dealing with the anxiety, the fears. But the solution to me, and immediately in early recovery, was connecting with that higher source of my own understanding, which to me, I call God, the freaking power of the universe, who loves me, and it's, I call it an awesome friend that wants nothing but the best for me, and to have an amazing way of living. And here it is. And through all of you, what an amazing gift this is. So to the solution, it says, page 25 of the big book, there is a solution almost none of us like: the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of our shortcomings, which is the process that requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that really, that it really worked in others. And we had to come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living. That's me. Working the steps of recovery, having sponsors, sponsorship since the very beginning, even in rehab, had a sponsor. I've had my current sponsor for a couple of years already, quite a few years now, since early recovery, since I came out of recovery, out of rehab. Have worked recovery. In fact, I want more of this, so much more that I'm starting to dive into and starting to dive into the steps for deeper meaning through awesome workbooks that have been put together by awesome teachers we have. So anyhow, this is a life that is so worth living. Come to find, fast forward, my health is pretty awesome. Actually, a little bit too healthy nowadays. in early recovery, got a job with an amazing employer. I'm insured, and on top of that, I just got a promotion last year, and amazing, more and better things to come through this process. So this, and I'm just getting started. I'm just barely 4 years into this. This is an amazing way of living. And if you're new at this, so worth it. So get a sponsor, come to meetings, find a higher power of your own understanding, which to me was, I used to have a lot of fear even in reading before I got to recovery. I couldn't even read because I'll get dizzy. I started to see a lot of light initially by just praying, turning it over to that source. And to me, that source to me has been nothing but the hand of God, of this amazing that actually to me and divinely put together this amazing way of living and program. And on top of that, have the gift to and the ability to, with through shared experience, strength, and hope, be able to pass it on. And what a gift this is. So better things to come. You know, it keeps getting better. It does work if you work it. I love this so much. I dive into as much as I can in terms of service, the little I can do to pay back, and a life worth living. So anyhow, very blessed in that perspective. Thank you.